to the book of Acts. Second chapter. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be reading from the first four verses of this great book. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
You may follow along with me as I read from the King James Version. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
All right.
You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we just ask right now that you give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to receive the word that you have for us today. Speak, Spirit of God, in this place this morning. Speak to your people. Touch your people. Minister to your people in a unique and profound way this morning. Father, I yield myself as a vessel to be used for such a time as this, and I thank you for the privilege of speaking your word to your people. Don't let Kelby get in the way this morning, Father God, but you have free reign and free course in this house today. Speak as you will, move as you will, do as you will in this place today, and we'll give you all glory, all honor, and all praise, and now and forever. In Jesus' name, let somebody say amen.
Amen.
To our senior pastor and to our associate minister and to our first lady and to Pam, who helped finance the new role, and to all that are in the house this morning.
Amen.
Good afternoon and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I believe that in order for us to see the tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit as he promised in these last days, that we need to position ourselves to flow with his Spirit and fully yield to his word.
Right.
See, when we attempt to do anything for Christ, without the anointing from the Spirit, and outside of the guidance of his word, while we might have a moderate amount of success, it won't be nearly to the level that God wants from us and for us.
Right.
See, I think that we need to be in tune with his voice. And we need to be surrounded by his presence. And we need to be filled with his Spirit in order to make the most significant impact in the kingdom of God. Now, while faith is a critical component in bringing all this to pass, it's really not the most critical component. Now, that statement does not minimize the importance of faith, because faith is the cornerstone. It's the cornerstone ingredient of our individual walk with Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Mark chapter 11 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to receive from God. And Romans chapter 4 is just loaded. That tells us that without faith, we've got no hope for salvation, no hope of righteousness, no means of reconciliation, and no basis for relationship with God. So we need faith in order to allow God to mold us and shape us and conform us into the individuals that he wants us to be.
Amen.
However, the time has come for us to mature as Christians and go to higher heights and deeper depths and not be so concerned about our individual walk with Christ, but to be focused on our collective walk with Christ. We need to look at how we are walking with Christ as a body of believers. See, Jesus said in Mark chapter 3 that a kingdom divided against itself, will not stand. He said in that same chapter that a house divided against itself will not stand. So it stands to reason that a church divided against itself won't stand either. That's why today we're speaking from the subject of united we stand. United we stand. The time has come for us to stand. Galatians 5:1 tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, last week, Minister Keith explained to us what yokes were all about. See, people deal with yokes. People have to contend with the yoke of strongholds and the yoke of bondage. They're continually bound by these things, which is why the verse says, be not entangled again by the yoke of bondage. See, it uses the phrase, be not entangled again, because people, they come into the church, they get a word, and they walk out only to be trapped, entangled, and defeated by the same stuff over and over and over again. It's a nasty, vicious, ugly cycle that came straight from the pit of hell to destroy you, to rob you of your joy, and to render you ineffective for the kingdom of God. But today, if you will hear the word that the Lord has for you, that thing can end once and for all, and you can walk out of here today totally and permanently free. John 8:36 says, if the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed.
Yes, sir.
So today, if you will hearken to his voice and harden not your heart, you will experience the bondage-breaking, life-changing, soul-cleansing breakthrough that only comes from the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
Because if we ever needed the presence of God in our midst, we need it now. We need it because I believe that people are absolutely sick and tired of coming to church a wreck and leaving out the same way. I believe people are tired of coming in bound, broken, and bruised, and leaving out battered, bloody, and beaten down. I believe people are longing for the presence and the power of God in their lives, not just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, not just on Wednesday nights at 6:30, not just when they go to their cousin's church, not just when they turn their favorite TV or radio preacher, but I believe people long for the presence of God all day, every day, especially when they're going through insurmountable challenges in life. They pray, they read the Bible, they show up at church, and they hear about a God who's able. They hear about a God of miracles. They hear about a God of healing. They hear about a God of deliverance, and they work their way into God's house, and they can't find him anywhere. People are seeking a solution to how to break the yoke of bondage over their lives, over their ministries, over their marriages once and for all, and that's only going to come through an encounter with the power and presence of God.
Amen.
Isaiah 10:27 says that yokes are destroyed by the anointing. And I believe that somebody in this house somewhere today is going to receive that breakthrough that they've been longing for. That means it's time for us to get real. And it's time for us to get serious. So it's time for us to get real serious about experiencing the presence and power of God and receiving the breakthrough that He has for us. I drove here all the way from 131 Grand Boulevard this morning to tell somebody, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because the God of miracles that you've been praying to, the God of miracles that you've been seeking after, the God of miracles that you've been longing for, is here today, and you are not in this place this morning by accident. He is the God of your breakthrough, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still in the miracle business. He's still in the healing business. He still delivers. He still sets free. He still makes whole. He still has a name that is above every name. And the question that you want answered today is, all right, preacher, I believe all that. But why isn't it happening for us? Somebody has that question today. Where's the disconnect? I'm glad you asked that question, because here's the answer. The disconnect comes when we attempt to limit God and fail to realize that what He did yesterday, He'll do today, and what He does today, He'll do it again tomorrow. That's why Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sadly, though, not everybody believes that. Some will tell you that the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are not for the church today. Some will tell you that the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit only existed for a short time so the church can be established. And some will tell you that the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit ceased to exist when the last apostle died. I've heard all those opinions, heard all those theories, I've heard all those postulations, and I've heard them while I've been sitting in this room. I've heard that we can expect God to reveal Himself today the way He did in the Bible. I've heard we can expect to experience the fellowship of His presence today the way they did in the Bible. I don't know where I was, but apparently I missed the invitation to the Holy Spirit's retirement party, because I still believe that He will pour out His Spirit upon His people today just the way He did in the Bible. So I came to tell you what the Bible says. Is it all right if I just preach out of what the Bible says? Can I check the opinions and the denominational theories at the door and just preach what the Word of God says? Now, are you sure? Because if I do that, I got to tell you three things today. The first thing I got to tell you is that God's presence is manifested through the unity of His people. The primary factor that contributed to the miracles and the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the early church was the unity among the believers. The missing ingredient in today's church is unity. The reason for the disconnect between the God that we read about and the God that we experience in our midst is unity. See, when you read the Bible, especially the book of Acts, not only do you see miraculous displays of God's power, you see complete unity displayed among God's people. God's power is displayed through God's people. And God's people must be united on one accord and have singleness of heart and singleness of purpose if we want to turn the world upside down just like they did in the Bible. Verse 1 of our text, we see the disciples on one accord and in one place. One accord means that there is unity and togetherness within the church. Not only was there unity in mind and spirit, but there was physical unity. They were in the same place, in the same house, in the same upper room. That means Peter didn't have a clique over here. Matthew wasn't having a private party over here. Andrew wasn't talking about talking behind Bartholomew's back.
Mm.
Thomas wasn't trying to do his own thing over in that corner. John wasn't trying to put together a little sub-church on his own. They were united in mind, body, and spirit. In order for us to experience the full presence of God in our midst, we must be united in mind, body, and spirit, because united, we stand. All right, I know some of y'all already checked out, don't want to hear me anyway, you're thinking about the food downstairs.
Come on.
It's all right. It's all right. And you're asking, what does what happened in the book of Acts in the early church have to do with me? Great question. So let's not look at the early church. Let's look at this church. The most exciting, anointed, spirit-filled service this church has every year is when? Women's Day. Every year around this time, the women of our church, they come together in a spirit of unity, with one accord. They put aside their differences, their agendas, their opinions, their jealousies, and whatever else is going on, and they unite under one common purpose, and that is to make our annual Women's Day service the best it can be. They select new songs. They practice long hours. They sacrifice every weekend. You know they don't take a weekend off, leading up to Women's Day. They buy new clothes. They not only get to church on time, they get here early. They invite people. They hold special events. They raise piles of money. Last year, I think they even had New Day prayer and fasting. They do all kinds of extraordinary things for one reason. That's so they can have a great Women's Day celebration. And regardless of what you think of their methods, you walk out of here that day knowing you are in the presence of the Lord. The unity of God's people on that one day permeates the environment and it makes a difference. That's why point number one was the presence of God is manifested through the unity of his people. And why point number two is God's power is manifested through the unity of his people. And all through the book of Acts, you see the followers of Christ performing life-changing, situation-altering, devil-defeating miracles. When the people were on one accord, tremendous things happened.
Yeah.
See, it's important to note that once the unity was established, God's presence didn't just slowly sneak up on them. The Bible says it came suddenly. Verse 2 says that suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And what many of us are missing today is a sound from heaven. See, there's all kinds of sounds and noises and distractions in our midst. There's the sound of society and peer pressure. There's the sound of voice recorders going off. There's the sound of dominant, controlling personalities. There's the sound of hurts, wounds, and brokenness of the past. There's the sound of conflict. So while there's all kinds of sounds in our midst, they're often less. A sound from heaven. When God's presence is in our midst, there will be a sound from heaven. And this is important to note because sound travels through the environment. Verse 2 says that the sound from heaven filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's why we have to ask the question, what sound is filling our house? Is it the sound of gossip? Is the sound of bitterness and discontent? Is it the sound of tradition? Is it the sound of selfishness and backbiting? Is it the sound of favoritism and nepotism and cliques? What sound is filling the house? Have you ever been in your house by yourself and you heard sounds? Sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it? However, most of the time, it's the sound of the house shifting. Pay attention to that. The sound of the house shifting. September 2004, Pastor Barnwell went home to be with the Lord. September 2005, Minister Tyus preaches his first sermon. September 2009, Minister Barnwell acknowledges his call to the ministry. There is a sound of the house shifting. There is a shifting going on in this house. And sometimes when the house shifts too much, it's because the foundation of that house is beginning to erode. What foundation is our house built upon? And what is the sound that we hear in it? We cannot ignore the sound. You have to pay attention to the sound in the house. Because whatever sound fills the house will eventually fill the people in the house. What's on the outside, good or bad, will eventually find its way on the inside. What is on the inside will eventually find its way back on the outside. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's talking about sound. So if you're filled with bitterness on the inside, you will eventually speak the sounds of bitterness, and it will fill the house. If you're filled with unforgiveness on the inside, you will speak the sounds of unforgiveness, and it will fill the house. If you're filled with fear and doubt on the inside, you will speak the sounds of fear and doubt, and it will fill the house. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37 that our words will either justify us or condemn us. So stop condemning yourself with your words. Proverbs 8:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the key to our breakthrough is in the words that we speak. And we must speak in unison. And so our point number three is God pours out his spirit through the unity of his people. When the Holy Spirit filled those in the upper room, he did so because they were in unity. Verse 4 tells us they were all filled. And they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That means not a single person in the house was left unfilled, untouched, and unaffected by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, verses 5 through 13, tells us that while those on the outside of the house heard him speak in tongues, they mocked him, ridiculed him, rejected him, but they continued to, through the Spirit of God, to speak the wonderful works of God. That tells us people rejected the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit on day one the same way they rejected today. But I can't hear David tell you the same. Don't let the opinions and the short-sightedness of others rob you of your breakthrough. If the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, use that gift for his glory and keep on being a living testimony to the wonderful works of God. I know people get tired of me talking about how God brought Amber out of the NICU, but I'm going to speak the wonderful works of God as the Spirit gives me utterance. I know people get tired of me preaching a message of correction, but it's making an impact on those with an ear to hear. So I'm going to keep speaking the wonderful works of God as the Spirit gives me utterance. Whatever gift God has given you, keep on using it. Keep on doing it. Keep on speaking as the Spirit gives you utterance. Whether people support you or not, sometimes you just have to get into a place where you encourage yourself. Jesus tells us to fill ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I know somebody's thinking, okay, Tyus is about to go on a tirade about the gifts of tongues, and I just can't get with that. No, I'm not. I thought I was too, and the Lord assigned me this text. How do you preach Acts 2:4 and not make it about the gift of tongues? But the more I prayed about what he wanted me to tell you this morning, the more he showed me this wasn't supposed to be about the gifts of tongues. And if that's all you're hearing this morning, you're missing what God has for us today. And it's going to keep you from receiving your breakthrough. See, the point of all of this is that the gift of tongues was only manifested when God's power was manifested. And God's power was only manifested when God's presence was manifested. And God's presence was only manifested when the people of God were in unity, on one accord, in one place. There were no cliques. There were no personal agendas. There was no favoritism. And the reason we see these gifts manifested in some places and not others is because some places have unity and others do not. When people are united, God's presence and God's power is manifested. And this holds true whether it's a church, a marriage, or even a football team. See, we've heard people say things like, our church isn't growing because the pastor isn't doing what he's supposed to do. And we've heard pastors say, our church isn't growing because the members aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But neither of them have looked at it from the perspective of, let's unite and help each other do what we're all supposed to do together. Growth in any organization has less to do with the quality of the people and more to do with the unity of the people. When people unite with one purpose, for one goal, on one accord, amazing things happen. Ecclesiastes 4:11 and 12 tells us that if two lie together, they can generate heat. But one person can't do that alone. It also says if one person is attacked, two coming together can defeat that attacker. It also says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. All those examples symbolize unity. And that's where your breakthrough was coming from. You keep getting entangled by the same yoke of bondage and the same strongholds because you're trying to fight this battle on your own. You can't find peace. You can't find joy. You can't find happiness. You can't find satisfaction because you have no clue what will even bring it. If you were to be honest with yourself, you could even answer the question, what would make you happy? What would make you satisfied? Because at some point in your life, you probably already had it, and it still didn't make you happy. So you got the house. That didn't satisfy you. You got the car. That didn't make you happy. You got the job. That didn't satisfy you. You got married. That just blew all up in your face. That didn't make you happy. You even got a little bit of money. And that didn't satisfy you. Your problem is that you're trying to do this on your own and you're looking for your breakthrough in the wrong place. You've fallen for the old lie of the enemy that told you you need to have an independent spirit. You need to separate yourself from those folks because you can't depend on them anyway. They're unreliable. They're incompetent. And all you've done is get further and further away from being united with God's people. Yeah, you come to church with them, sing in the choir with them, you work on a committee with them, you sing on a board with them, but you're not really with them. There's no togetherness. There's no unity. There's no common purpose. There's no one accord. Stop trying to do everything yourself. You weren't meant to do it all. Cast off the pride, the shame, the selfishness, the arrogance, or whatever it is that comes from. Just get rid of it, all right? Just get rid of it. Whatever it is that's keeping you from experiencing the unity that comes with joining together with others under a common purpose. Because united, we sing. That's why right now you're being extended an invitation to discipleship. Because the first step you need to take to establish unity is with God and become a member of his family. You cannot enter the kingdom of God without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. To gain eternal life, you must confess with your mouth and believing in your heart the thing that will cause you to make the sound that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross and was resurrected for you and I. There's another reason you're being extended an invitation this morning. Because that's because we've shown today that united we stand. In order to stand during the trials and the challenges and the troubles that you will face in life, you must be united with the local church. You must be joined and committed to a body of believers and ministered to by a pastor that is called to watch over your soul. So if you accept either of these invitations, work your way down to the front. We'll come down and we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Because you can no longer afford to function on your own independently. Do we have one this morning? Heavenly Father, I gave it to them like you gave it to me. You said that your word would never return to your void, but it would accomplish the thing that you sent it out to do. Your word is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Those with an ear to hear who are alive in you this morning, they will feel the impact of the sword of the word as it cuts through us with surgical precision to heal us and to make us whole. Sadly, those that are dead cannot feel the effect of the sword as it cuts through them. And they won't be moved. And they won't experience all that you have on today. But those of us that you have placed upon your operating table this morning, we thank you for speaking words of life into us today. We thank you for teaching us today. We thank you for healing us today. And we give you praise right now. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name.